Yerevaradani. Gope jana balabha girivaradhari. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. 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 Jamuna tera vanachari. Jamuna tera vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Shri Shri Radha Madhavasta Saki Pancha Tattva Prahlad Nasimha Bhagavan Ki.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama. Who's here for the first time tonight? Just raise your hand. Some guests visiting. Thank you very much for coming. I know this might be new to some of you, so tonight's event, I'd like to just take a moment and explain a bit about what we'll be doing, or I'll do that a bit later. But our topic tonight is meditation. Meditation in a materialistic age. And the ceremony tonight is really associated with that commitment to meditation. When I was a teenager, back in the previous millennium, I signed up for a meditation course, paid my $25, and went to the ceremony and got a mantra and was told, this is a secret mantra, do not tell this to anybody. So I bought the secret mantra, I chanted it for a while, nothing much happened, I gave it up. Later I learned about the Hare Krishna mantra. No charge, and it really was very effective. And so some years later, I met another friend who was chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and I mentioned this meditation. He said, oh, I took that course too. And I said, what was your secret mantra? And he told me, and I said, that's the same one they gave me. So if something is genuine, is good, it should be free and readily available for everyone. This is the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That will be $25, please. This process of chanting the names of God is universal. It's not a sectarian process. It is a prayer to the Supreme. Please engage me in your service. That's the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Please let me serve you. I'm not asking for anything from you other than this privilege of serving you and connecting with you through that service. The name of the Supreme is the same as the Supreme. There is no daylight between them. There's no difference. When we are saying a name of God, God is fully present. God is that name. We are associating with God. So the idea of chanting his name dates back to, or is found in every religious tradition of the world. It is completely pure, and yet we may be impure when we're chanting. So the process of yoga is a purification process, a process by which things that are unwanted, things that are burdensome, things that are self-defeating in our life, bad habits, gradually become cleansed away by inserting this positive energy of the Supreme Lord in our lives, in our hearts. In the process of chanting, there are stages. Anyone is welcome to chant. After some time, there's some progress in the chanting, then one might take more seriously the things that are favorable for chanting. That's associated with today's ceremony. Devotees are taking vows to avoid things, certain things that cannot be done for Krishna. And at the same time, there is a serious commitment to chanting a regular amount of time every day. So this is an advanced stage. After at least a year and sometimes years of practice, people come to this point where they can comfortably say, I'm ready to make these very serious commitments. In the course of our chanting, there are certain subtle things to avoid, 10 of them to be exact. So I'm just going to briefly go through them, because on this occasion where people are taking this vow, it's good to remind ourselves what are the things that can hold our chanting back. There's a story of a wedding party in India. They were celebrating the marriage the night before on a large boat, and they were going to sail the next day down the river to the place where the wedding would occur. So everyone was on the boat, everyone was very happy, everyone rested, and all night the oarsmen were rowing and rowing, and the partygoers could hear the oars. But when they woke in the morning, they were shocked to find they were in the same place. So they discovered the captain had not lifted the anchor before all that rowing. So in the same way, if we chant, but we have offenses to the chanting, we're doing things unconducive for chanting, then it will prevent us from making the progress we could otherwise make by our efforts. So the first of these 10 offenses is to criticize other people, particularly those who are practicing the chanting. It's not hard to recognize when we're being critical of others. That's kind of a bad habit we might observe in ourselves. What's a little more subtle is when we're hearing other people being critical. If we hear other people criticizing others, and we just listen to it, we're party to the offense. So when we hear criticism, we have a number of choices. One of them is we could say something nice about the person who's being criticized. And if we can't do that, we can just leave. But to sit and listen silently, this is an offense to the holy name. Second offense is to equate the various demigods of the Vedic tradition, such as Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, with Lord Krishna, to consider their names to be on the same level as Krishna's name is to minimize Krishna's unique position. Hinduism is known as the religion of 33 million gods, right? Polytheistic. And a superficial understanding of the tradition might lead one to think that Hinduism is polytheistic. So first of all, we have to understand the word Hinduism does not appear anywhere in the Vedic scriptures. It's more of a modern term. It really doesn't describe what we practice in Krishna consciousness. But we use it whenever it's favorable for our PR. A gentleman named Vivek Ramaswamy, an American politician of Indian extraction, is a devout Hindu and conservative. So he was addressing a conservative gathering of Christians who were kind of questioning his credentials. How can you be a conservative and yet believe in this polytheistic religion? And he corrected his audience by saying, no, this is actually a monotheistic tradition. We believe in one supreme God who can appear in a variety of ways. Then he asked the audience, how many of you are Christians? Every hand rose up. How many of you believe in the Holy Trinity? Every hand went up. So you also believe that God, one supreme God, can appear in numerous ways. So in this way, he won his audience. And it's a good argument to know. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the guru. Now, in our early days of this society, our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, was the sole guru. He was also organizing the institution that now has spread all over the world, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so his role was both to instruct his students spiritually and to guide them in their activities. Now we have evolved over the last 50-some years into an international organization where there are local leaders who have managerial responsibilities and spiritual leaders who have spiritual training responsibilities. These are compared to two rails of a train track. Both need to be there for the train to move forward. However, the leadership in our organization, the Governing Body Commission, explains and attempts to teach newcomers that, yeah, there are two parallel lines of authority, and they're meant to work in a harmonious way. So the instructions of the spiritual master are no longer, you should go here, you should do this, you should do that. Rather, they are, how are you doing with your chanting? What can I do to help you with any difficulties you're having? See, that's the responsibility of the spiritual master. The instructions of the spiritual master are, for the most part, limited to these four regulative principles and 16 rounds. Beyond that, there can be advice, there can be guidance, there can be encouragement. Local managerial issues, things about going here and there, that should be done, dealt with by the leadership in the institution. Never in the history of our venerated Vaishnava Sampradayas has there been this intervention of an institution between guru and disciple, or in the mix even. So we have these unique challenges. However, when we talk about disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, primarily we're talking about these four regulative principles and 16 rounds, the vows our students are taking today. The fourth offense is to criticize Vedic scriptures or texts aligned with them. The biblical tradition, for example, Jesus was asked, what is your first commandment? What did he say? Anyone know? To love thy Lord with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Right, this is bhakti. Right? This is the same thing that is given in Bhagavad Gita. So we can respect any tradition, and yet at the same time we find in the Bhagavad Gita the full theology, the full philosophy, the real science of God, which is so beautiful. The Gita has all the same basic teachings of loving God, and then more specifically, how to understand our relationship with Him and how to execute it. However, the names of God are unlimited. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. Any name of God has this incredible power to relieve us of bad habits and lift us to a transcendental stage. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. What that means is that we chant, but we don't believe or we don't feel that it's really impacting us. Mindless chanting, and Advaita Prabhu will speak a little bit more on that in a moment. The opposite of mindless chanting is mindful chanting. And if we actually hear and give our hearts to the holy name, the effect is reliably consistent and powerful. Sixth offense is to interpret the holy name in some speculative or metaphorical way. One yoga teacher taught that, yes, the value of chanting is that it automatically creates breath control exercises. which makes the mind calm. This is an example of minimizing the actual spiritual value of chanting. The practice of chanting is especially convenient, powerful, consistent if we do it early in the morning. So as an aging baby boomer, I tend to look at articles from time to time, how do people live a long time? And they interview centenarians, and they often give the same formula, the way they eat, the way they have social life, but they also say, find time to meditate every day. Their conception of meditation might be 5 or 10 quiet minutes, but that seems to be a commonality among people who have long and productive lives. Hey, for Hare Krishna devotees, you know, we have that built-in meditation time. And there's a book called The 5 a.m. Club, which talks about how people are more productive if they rise early in the morning. So same is true in spiritual life. We don't make more money, but we are accelerated in our spiritual advancement. Seventh offense is considered the most egregious, that is to perform immoral activities on the strength of chanting. In other words, I'll go ahead and do this thing, which I know is wrong, but then I'll chant and make it up. Now, there's a tradition, some traditions have this, they call atonements, where you have to repeat so many names of God to offset certain sins. Can I tell you a joke about that? Is that right? All right, well, there was a priest who was hearing a confession from a young man. He said, Father, I have committed some immoral activities with a young woman. And the father said, oh, that's very bad. Was it April? No. Was it Janet? No. Was it Carolyn? No. Anyway, you have to chant so many Hail Marys. You chant 100 Hail Marys to compensate for your sin. So then after the confession, he was talking to his friend, what happened? Well, I got 100 Hail Marys and 3 prospects. So we don't chant in order to offset mistakes. Once, twice, we might make mistakes, but if we continually make mistakes, the chanting will lose its impact. The eighth offense is to treat the holy name as a ritual. There's a kind of meditation called the secret. Anyone heard of the secret? You know, the secret is where you meditate on the object of your desire and you'll get it. Right? So this is more common perhaps in some traditions where your purpose of going to church or going to the temple or going to pray is to get a better material situation. Right? So that is not the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, we may prosper materially, we may suffer materially. That really isn't up to us, and it really doesn't matter. The purpose of chanting is rather to connect with our Maker and to have an opportunity to experience the limitless bliss of loving God. The ninth offense is to tell people who are not interested about the benefits and the power of chanting Hare Krishna. When we've experienced something nice in life, the natural reaction is we want to share it with our loved ones. We want to bring our family and our friends along, and they may or may not be interested, particularly in this very independent United States or North American culture. In some countries like Italy, one person becomes a devotee, the whole family becomes devotee. It's really nice, but not so much here. However, if we want to bend people's ear and tell them all about this wonderful experience, and they're just not interested, the result of that is that our own conviction is reduced. And so we're advised to treat the holy name with the respect and share it with people who really want to know about it, but not others. The tenth offense is to maintain material attachments and lack full faith in the name. The Bhagavad Gita gives this beautiful description of material attachments. They are like a river flowing through our minds. So this river of desires and river of attachments is always going on and on and on. The Bhagavad Gita advises that we can look at this river, but not jump in. Neither do we want to fulfill these desires, but we also don't want to get in and fight them. Sometimes we think, let me jump in and just choke the life out of this desire. But it just doesn't work that way. if we got our hands on it, the desire has won. So the idea is, the Gita advises, it just let it flow into the ocean of our consciousness and let it be like a river emptying into the ocean. The rivers are pouring into the ocean, but the ocean still stays within its limits. So we can observe these desires, these attachments, but not allow them to dominate our consciousness. By this method, they atrophy over time. These desires weaken like muscles that you don't use for years. So this is the 10th offense, to maintain material desires. The 10.1 offense is perhaps the most difficult to overcome, and Advaita Prabhu will now tell us a little bit about this one.
Mindless chanting. I'm an expert. Something I've been dealing with for a while. It's not commonly talked about, but it's the root cause of it all. It's the fertile ground from where all other monsters come to feed on. And it's less perceptible, almost invisible. It's like they call it the phantom offense. And it's inattentiveness, or pramada. So I call it madness. And it's not, the problem is not in inattentiveness. The problem is in normalizing the inattentiveness. You know, they say the man does not drown by falling into water. He drowns by staying submerged in it. So, but as long as we are making an effort, there's hope. There's hope in following Krishna's instructions in the Gita, in the 6th chapter, where he says, the yato yato nischalati manas chanchala. Manas chanchala astiram. And from wherever the mind wanders, due to his steady, flickering nature, we should try to withdraw it. One must withdraw it and place it under the control, full control. Well, in our case, we are devotees, so we seek not only control, but we seek shelter. In a full control or shelter of the self. Very important not to give up on trying. And every time we actually try that, we become the architect of our own fortune. The destiny lines on our palm, they change. And our ability to respond to whatever karma brings our way, that will increase. So it brings strength. Our attention to what we do, everything we do, it will bring strength and fulfillment. Mindless action are never... We live in a quite fast-paced world, so everything is saturated with noise, notifications. Nowadays, there's notifications for notifications. So it's very It's very difficult. I mean, have you ever been distracted before? Sometimes, maybe. Technology is like a fire, right? You can cook with it, but we should pay attention not to be cooked in a process. Very important to always seek shelter. And become comfortable. Become comfortable with silence. Become comfortable with solitude. This is the foundation of any meditation. But we have grown to become very uncomfortable with those things because confirmed. the chanting is the affair of the heart. So it includes emotion. It is not a mechanical process. You know, nowadays we live in an increasingly automated world where there's an invasion of AI. But it's good to remember that we can ChatGPT or Gemini or Java. we just can't do that. It includes priti purvakam, with some feeling. Has to be done with some feeling. Then it will yield to some result. Because all this distraction, all this inattentiveness, it's actually emotional need for some immediate fulfillment, only because we have not fully accepted Krishna's love. Our japa is our exclusive time with Krishna. And if you chant with love, you will love to chant, as His Grace Mahatma Prabhu has taught us. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
So now we'll begin with our initiation process. We have 10 initiates tonight, and I wanted to ask to accommodate this efficiently if we could make a little pathway so that the initiates can make their way back to the Vyasasan to offer their obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. What we'd like to do is ask each initiate to go to Prabhupada and then come and offer obeisances and then come up to the front and get your name and beads. We're going to start with Bhakta Bruce. If I may take just a moment, especially for those of you who are new and just visiting for the first time this evening, does anyone use Amazon here? A few people? Okay. All right, so the guru is like an Amazon driver, okay? You know, you place an order, and the Amazon driver brings it to your door. Now, there's two mistakes that could happen in that exchange. The recipient could look at the Amazon driver and say, oh, thank you very much for giving me this present. But the recipient has already ordered it, paid for it. It's not the driver who's bringing, he's just delivering. Or the driver could say, yes, here I am bringing you your gift. Give me my money, give me all honor. I am the one who has brought you your gift. It's, both of those are out of balance, right? In fact, there is an owner of the company who is dispatching the driver. That would be Srila Prabhupada. And then there is a production company that's making everything, many, many companies. That's Krishna. Janmad Yasyayatelam Vayan. He's the origin of everything. So by giving this initiation tonight, we're just delivering the message from Srila Prabhupada, from Krishna, rather, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Okay.
So back to Bruce, all the way from Philly. is actually a third generation of chanters. His grandmother has chanted, his mother has chanted, not like fully and seriously, but they chanted. And he's also a nurse. He has come to nurse, and nowadays he's nurturing people on the streets of North America by distributing transcendental literature, Srila Prabhupada's books, as part of the Krishna House Traveling Sankirtan Party. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Jagya Ki. And as those of you who know him, he's very bright-faced, very jolly, helicopter dancer. And there's certain brightness about him since day one he joined. But the more books he distributes, the more he's coming out of his shell and allowing that brightness to come forth even more. So, should he say the vows now? Okay. So, what do you vow for the rest of your life?
I vow to chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day for the rest of my life. I vow to follow the four regulative principles: no meat eating, including fish and eggs, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Very nice. Thank you very much. So,
for the rest of my life.
Okay. As you can see, he knows what he wants. So, on behalf of His Holiness Bhakti Tirthamar, Srila Prabhupada, and our entire Guru Parampara, we are very happy to give you a new name, Bhanu Das. Bhanu Das K.
Next, we have Bhakti Shyama. And Shyama. And Bhakti Stacy, you'll be right behind her, okay, so you can. When she finishes, yeah. Okay. Shyama is the daughter of a devotee family. Her parents are Balabhadra and Bindu Mati, devotees. And our temple vice president in Gainesville, Adi Shyam Prabhu, says, I wish we had 20 Shyamas. Responsible, sober, steady, equipoised, and dear to everyone. So, so Shyama, what are the vows that you are taking today?
To follow the four regulative principles of no gambling, no illicit sex, no meat eating, and no intoxication, and to chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day for the rest of my life.
Very good. Very good. I have a few beads here, and forgive me, somehow yours seem to be lost in the shuffle. Shyama, today I am pleased on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession to present you with the spiritual name in recognition of your vows, Shakuntala Devi Dasi. Shakuntala means one who is blessed with a very divine nature, and she in the Mahabharata was the mother of Bharat, Bharat Maharaja, whom the planet Bharat Varsha is named. So congratulations and thank you for your service. Stacy? Stacy is from Newark, Delaware, where she is the manager of a natural food store. And she has brought an entourage with her tonight, including her friends Heather and Joseph. Are they here? Pardon? Oh, I beg your pardon. Jocelyn. Beg your pardon. Jocelyn and Heather. And her mother, Barbara. And her sister, Tiffany. And her daughter, Sabine. All right, welcome. Thank you for being here for this landmark occasion for Stacy. So, Stacy, what are the four regulative principles that you're vowing to follow today?
I vowed to not eat meat, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication, and to chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra for the rest of my life every day.
Very nice. Thank you. Fish and eggs are included. Okay, right?
And fish and eggs, no fish and eggs.
Bhakti and Stacy, you've done such a nice job in progressing in Krishna consciousness there in Delaware, and now you've visited the Dham in Mayapur. I'm very pleased on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession today to give you the spiritual name, Sadyavati Devi Dasi. Satyavati, satya means truth, and vati means one who possesses. So satyavati is a person who is honest, who is equipoised, who is kind, and very much in the mode of goodness. And as I know you, this is your nature. Satyavati was also the mother of Vyasadeva and the great-grandmother of the Pandavas, a very important personality in the Mahabharata. So thank you for your service to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. We're very fortunate today to have some guests from Columbus, Ohio. They came here for this wonderful Florida weather we've been enjoying today and for this auspicious occasion. So these three devotees who will be taking initiation. We'll begin with Kanchana, okay, and followed by Bharat and Gopal Kumar. So please be prepared. Okay. So Kanchana is the wife of a wonderful devotee named Manu Shrestha Prabhu, who is also here, and he is. They are the parents of two wonderful children, Rishabdev and Mashika, who are also here. And Kanchana has been a very faithful devotee for many, many years. Let me get your beads here. Yes. So, Kanchana, what are the regulative principles and chanting vows you're taking today?
I vow to follow four regulative principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. And I vow to chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day for the rest of my life.
Very good. Hare Krishna. You've been chanting now for many years, huh?
Yes. Just 2-3 years.
Two, three years. Okay. Very good. So, Kanchana, I've had the pleasure of visiting your home many times, and I know that you have beautiful deities of Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra Devi, to whom you are very devoted. So on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession, today I am pleased to give you the spiritual name, Gauri Devi Dasi. Gauri is the name of Subhadra. And since Kanchana means gold, Gauri means the golden Subhadra. Good, okay. Gopakumar Prabhu. Gopakumar Prabhu, is known as a very faithful servant at the Columbus Temple. He's noted for washing the dishes very regularly, among other humble services. This Balaram Abhishek, when you wash the dishes. So I'm very pleased you could come. What are the four regulative principles now that you're vowing to follow today?
No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating.
Very good. And how many rounds of the Maha Mantra will you chant each day?
16 rounds.
Good.
In the rest of my life.
Your name is already very beautiful, Gopakumar. And because the Gopakumar is the hero of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, one of the heroes, I am pleased to give you the name on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession, Sanatan Goswami Das. Sanatan Goswami is, of course, the author, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And we thank you very much for your service and for being part of Srila Prabhupada's movement. Hare Krishna. Bharat Prabhu, and after that we'll have Ramu Prabhu from Grand Rapids, if you can be ready. Okay. Sorry. Again, Bharat Prabhu already has a beautiful name. Bharat is a very enthusiastic devotee of penetrating intellect, who asks very stimulating and challenging questions. And when you answer his questions, he comes up with twice as many questions about your answers. So he's a very stimulating associate, and we're very happy you could be here for this occasion. Bharat Prabhu, what are the four regulative principles which you're vowing now to follow?
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj, I take a vow not to indulge or not to do no intoxication, no meat eating, including fish and eggs, no gambling, and no illicit sex.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And as far as you're chanting japa each day?
I vow to chant minimum 16 rounds each day for the rest of my life. And of course, I will try my best to do more than 16 rounds. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All right. Very good. So, Bharat Prabhu, on behalf of the disciplic succession and Srila Prabhupada, I'm very pleased to award you with the spiritual name, Shyamasundar Das. Hare Krishna. I am so pleased to introduce to you my dear friend, Prem Sindhu Prabhu. Prem Sindhu Prabhu, would you please just at least raise your hand? So Prem Sindhu Prabhu is the Siksha Guru of all of these devotees. He has a japa class every day with them, starting at 4 a.m., and followed by a Srimad Bhagavatam class every day, and they and many other devotees join him for this. So really, by all means, all right, these are his students, his disciples. I'm here to assist. We're a team effort. And Prem Sindhu Prabhu, I just really appreciate your preaching, and I would ask all of these my new disciples from Columbus, please consider Prem Sindhu as your Siksha Guru, and make him happy. You make me happy. All right. We have a similar arrangement from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Ramu Prabhu is suffering from a painful leg injury, so he is exempted from obeisances. They are, pranams are accepted. I'm going to introduce first the principal Siksha Guru in Grand Rapids, Michigan. About 12 years ago, there was a master's degree student in robotics from Michigan State University who decided to pursue spiritual life instead. And he has been a staunch brahmachari ever since. He was assigned to develop the community in Grand Rapids, which he has done with amazing success. So these students from Grand Rapids who made the trip here today are really like his disciples. Again, we're a partnership. I'm initiating on your behalf. He's their principal Siksha Guru from day one. not yet by our ISKCON rules giving diksha, but really in all the respects their spiritual master. The Shamananda Krishna Prabhu. I'd like to add that they have managed to, in just 12 years, open a Krishna house by Grand Rapids Valley College, and also purchase a church, a large church. What is it, 10,000 square feet? 14,000 square feet with 85 parking places on a very nice location in Grand Rapids. From scratch, his community has done this in 12 years. So our first Grand Rapids initiate today is Ramu Prabhu. Ramu Prabhu was introduced to Krishna consciousness by Siddharth, basically, right? His son?
Yes, Prabhu.
Siddharth and his wife, Sri Gauri, who will be next for initiation, were really inspired by their son, who's quite precocious, and became a very determined devotee in the association of other devotees. And he has brought mom and dad along. In this case, he was not preaching to the faithless. So Rama Prabhu, what are the four regulative principles you're vowing today to follow?
Gurudev, four regulative principles. I'd like to follow are no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, and no illicit sex. And I'll continue to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Rama Prabhu is very much beloved by the devotee community in Grand Rapids because of his service attitude, always wanting to please the Vaishnavas. So on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession, I'm honored today to present you with the spiritual name, Vaishnava Seva Das. Thank you. Now, Mrs. Vaishnava Seva? Sri Gauri? Yes, okay. Sri Gauri will be next, followed by Jyoti. You could be ready, please. Where's Siddharth, by the way? Where's the guru? There he is. Siddharth already has two disciples, his mother and father. Hare Krishna. So in my visits to your home, I have understood you and your husband as very devout Vaishnavas and very much appreciated by your community. What are the four regulative principles you're vowing to follow?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and I will do minimum 16 rounds of chanting every day for the rest of my life.
Okay. I think we forgot one of the regulative principles. Did we not? Let's do those four again, just to make sure we got straight.
Do you want me to tell again?
Again, please.
No intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. No meat eating. I said already.
Okay, just want to make sure. Dementia is setting in, so please forgive me, okay? Okay, Sri Gauri, it has been so nice to get to know you and your family. You are known to be a very outgoing person with a great deal of interest in sharing this message of Krishna consciousness with others. So in consultation with Shamananda Krishna Prabhu, on behalf of the disciplic succession and Srila Prabhupada, I'm very pleased to give you the name Janava Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna. Janava Devi was, of course, the consort of Lord Nityananda, who is the original spiritual master. Please continue doing your best to spread Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Jyoti? Jyoti Mataji, is she ready? Please come. Jyoti has a beautiful last name, Gore, and she is here today with her husband, Gaurav. There he is, yes. Taking pictures. And their twins, Anmol and Anika. They're around also.
Yeah, Anika is on the left, and I think Anmol is in the back. Right.
Children must always be supervised here, new ramen
right. Yeah, I thought they were
inside. No, I thought they were fine. Jyoti, it's been such a pleasure to get to know you. What are the four regulative principles you're vowing to follow today?
I vow today, Gurudev, is it working?
Mm-hmm. Yes, just speak right into it.
I vow today for the four regulative principles, no meat eating,
No intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling.
Very good. And how many rounds of japa will you chant each day?
I will chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily throughout my life.
Thank you. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Disciplic Succession, I'm pleased to give you the spiritual name, Ujjvala Rasi Devi Dasi. Sorry. Ujjvala Rasa. Ujjvala Rasa Devi Dasi. Yes. So Jyoti means the sun, and Ujjvala is like the effulgence. So now you go from being the source to the manifestation of that effulgence and being a light to the world like you already are. Hare Krishna. And last but not least, we have Mother Bhavna. Bhavna is the wife of a very nice devotee in Grand Rapids named Vrishabhanu, and the mother of two wonderful daughters, Sneha and Shristi, who are here. Where are they? There they are. That's right. Okay. Hare Krishna. Bhavna, what are the four regulative principles you are going to follow today?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. I'll follow the four regulative principles of no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and no illicit relationships. And I take a vow to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for the rest of my life.
Thank you very much. Krishna. Thank you very much. On behalf of the Disciplic Succession and Srila Prabhupada, I'm very pleased to award you the spiritual name Kirtida Sundari Devi Dasi. Kirtida is, of course, the wife of Vrishabhanu and mother of Radharani. So you have a beautiful name and a beautiful family. Please keep helping them grow in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Kirtida Sundari Devi Dasi Prabhu Ki.
All right, so that concludes our initiations for this evening. Just a couple more quick announcements. We are going to have the fire yajna outside. Initiates and anyone attending, wear your parkas, that's fine. Okay. The initiates will need to get their neck beads, so I hope their supporters are ready for that. And there'll be garlands and Achman cups for everybody. It is traditional after initiations for disciples to give some donation to the spiritual masters, dakshin. So all of our initiates tonight, except two, are gainfully employed. The other two are in the ashram. That is Banu and Shakuntala. So I'm going to suggest that they be the ones to go through the crowd, and anyone who would like to contribute, you can give to these two ashramites. Okay? The others, you can contribute if you like from your own resources. Is that all right? Okay. A word from our sponsor. We want to thank Mother Mukhya and all the devotees here in Alachua for providing facility and accommodating. And everybody, thank you for coming and sharing your love and joy on this wonderful occasion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.